We have said yes in big capital letters to dozens of requests and programs in our space, a mix of PICA programming, community organized events, workshops, and collaborations with other local and national arts and cultural groups. As Roya mentioned, the space that we have on Hancock is indeed a gift, and we are willing and able to share this resource with the wider community in order to provide space for all to be safe, create, express, gather, share, and heal. We are fulfilling these needs by supporting and mentoring in other capacities outside of the use of our space, including help with permit applications to the city and cutting through red tape, which consistently changes and is increasingly restrictive and cost prohibitive to a lot of the communities we work with. And prevents work by these communities. We've noticed a severe impact on smaller organizations and smaller venues in town. We provide financial assistance where and when we can by covering costs associated with putting on events. Our facility, staff, equipment, and resources are available to all who use our space, often at no or low cost, as well as to outside groups and organizations. We make connections between individuals, collectives, funders, presenters, and the like in order to support the growth and expansion of the arts in Oregon. In conclusion, our building comes with responsibility, expense, and an attention to ethics for PICA that mirrors the same responsibilities, expenses, and ethics for City Council, as you pronounce a commitment to sustainable living for artists. In short, PICA's building and others like it have the potential to serve local artists and communities in game-changing ways, but they require public subsidy and support to do so. We, PICA, are fully committed to our work, and we will continue to be a resource for all, especially marginalized communities. But the responsibility is on all of us to create change, from policy and institutions to community-based solutions. We ask the city to commit to investing in and subsidizing existing art spaces and organizations who already hold trusted relationships in the community, so those organizations can fully function as part of a solution to the problems and opportunities we are all here to discuss today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good testimony. Thank you.
The next three are Natalie Sepp, Donovan Smith, and Jerry Tischletter, I believe his last name. And they'll be followed by Jeff John, Don Lukoff, and Erica Thomas.
Natalie, why don't you kick us off?
1 minute? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Natalie Sepp, and I'm a registered lobbyist with the City of Portland working for Open Signal. But today, I'm here in my capacity as an artist. I wanted to thank you again, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on the arts and Commissioner Udaly for your vision and specific experience in the arts community. It's been a privilege and an honor to be able to work with you in my capacity with Open Signal. I've had the privilege of working both in City Hall and some of the best studio spaces in the city, the Falcon Art Building, Thurman Street Studios, and more recently, Northwest Marine Ironworks Building, each of which is brimming with talent, so gracious for the space to express themselves. Thank you again for consulting with Ken Unkelis on this process. As a multi-generation Portlander, I've seen the city change and the identity shift. This plan is a great opportunity for us to grow as a haven for arts and culture and artists. I encourage you to continue to think about the lives and livelihoods of artists beyond programs that maintain art spaces and infrastructure, affordable housing and family wage jobs, all of these things which allow artists and people of all backgrounds to live and thrive in the city. As Richard Florida has now said, diversity of all kinds is the key. Thank you for recognizing there are some barriers that naturally exist within the government structure. Items 17 and 19, which embolden Prosper Portland to work with artists on ambitious, imaginative projects and unused space and cut red tape, is a wonderful start to the vision that I hope goes to all the different departments that you consider in the future. As someone who has been both in City Hall and a studio, I recognize how challenging this is to be both sides, creative and legislative, but I would love to be a resource as you refine the role, specifically of arts concierge. This has been an engaged and collaborative process, and I know that Open Signal would love to continue to be involved in the more difficult next phase of implementation. We are open to cooperative and share resources as you look for venues and spaces for artists and opportunities to reach goals of this ambitious plan. Thank you so much for your consideration for keeping artists in Portland and our city focused on vision, depth, and imagination.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Good afternoon. The statement gentrification is where it began as my artistic take on how Portland's image as a pro-art, free-spirited place for all too often left black communities behind in 2015. not an organization or a collective. Gentrification is where it has become a rallying point for community members to explore the past and future development of our city and state. It's a point of galvanization and reflection for those who call this place home. It's grown from a static statement to take to exhibits to explore Black resistance and vitality in the state through visual art, performances, and conversation across generations, and weaving the young and seasoned through the lost city of Vanport back to St. John's for an annual bike ride with organizer Laquita Lanford and the Community Cycling Center, and later the Vanport Mosaic Festival, whose first installment included the first interview and community Q&A with our mayor, Ted Wheeler, after his election, about his commitments around housing and making this a more accessible city for all. These moments and more, organized under the Gentrification is Weird banner, have come as a result of community recognizing the statement's poignancy and knowing we can do more. Through my experience of collaboratively rallying folks behind the statement and being a lifetime multi-generational Portlander, it's become increasingly clear that the need for affordable art spaces in our city is at all-time highs. Between historical spaces increasingly becoming priced out, falling victim to the bulldozer and red tape that locks too many folks out, it's imperative that the city that prides itself on working for everyone moves forward with fair, inclusive policies for the folks that breathe soul into it. Gentrification is weird, but it does not have to remain a fact. This plan is a good step in the right direction. Let's make sure we continue to work forward with stakeholders to implement this plan in a truly equitable way. And I do not like that buzzer.
No, it's really annoying, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it is. I've worn the heck out of the T-shirt, but I still have the bumper sticker up in my office.
Oh, that's tight, Ted.
It is.
Could you give us your name, please?
Donovan Smith.
Thank you.
Yep. Donovan, thanks again. It's good to see you again. Yep. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Tischlater. I'm the art subdirector at Artist Repertory Theater and the producing artistic director at Risk Reward. Through those capacities, I've worked with hundreds of artists every year who are looking for rehearsal space, performance space, office space. Helen from RAC twisted my arm to come down and talk to you because we ran into each other last week, and I was mentioning that I think there are actually a lot of spaces out there in the community that are open to hosting artists, much like we've done at Artist Ref, but the administrative capacity to open their doors is often the biggest obstacle to letting people actually activate their spaces. In the last year, because of the success of our program, I've been approached by Masonic temples, synagogues, community centers, other flagship arts organizations who want to know how they can activate their spaces. And I think the fact that it's actually really, really difficult and really a lot of work to open your doors, to schedule people, to make a secure space that a lot of people can have access to. I don't see a lot of recommendations in here about how to increase administrative capacity to actually activate some of these spaces. So that's mostly what she wanted me to come down and testify to. And personally, I might actually put Portland 5 and the firehouses on the list of underutilized spaces in this city. If you look at the number of groups using those spaces and the number of nights per year that they're actually being utilized, I think we could look at some of the spaces that the city already has control over to get more use out of them.
We're working on it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, all three of you.
Next three are Jeff John, Don Lukoff, and Erica Thomas. And they'll be followed by the last three are Kate Mura, Leroy Bynum, and Suzanne Gray.
Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm Jeff Yan. I'm a Portland-based critic and curator. I run PortlandArt.net. It's a web-based arts criticism site. Reaches over 1.5 million unique readers per year. As an independent curator, I was very much responsible for instituting a series of programs in warehouse spaces and other alternative spaces that sort of activated Portland early on about 18 years ago. And what I want to bring to the fore here is almost a question of tone. It's great that the council is doing all of this, but on the cover of this report, there is a child with fingerprints on their glasses and that sort of thing. That's great, and it's a non-threatening image, but really the arts are a serious thing. And in terms of messaging and tone, what we want to do is we want to maintain Portland's edge as a creative hub. Cities like Houston always come back to messaging how they are going to be an important international artistic hub. And if we don't get that messaging right, if we don't get our application of funds that we're putting out there and saying, hey, we're being serious about our arts, it's all for naught. And I'd like to see a message that conveys that seriousness at all points along the way. A lot of people just don't know what great things we have, like the Mark Rothko thing and other things, and that's coming along now. But we need more of it, and we need to message it from the top to the bottom.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Erica Thomas. I'm here as an independent artist and the co-director of Matter, which is a new independent, self-funded, and women-run art space in central east side Portland. We started in spring of 2017, and we're focused on contextual and socially engaged art about labor, politics, social justice, place, and economics. I came here, and I live here, because I wanted to get an MFA in art and social practice from Portland State. And I want to stay here, and so I'm invested in maintaining and improving the health of our creative and artistic place. There are many Portland art spaces that are precariously existing on the goodwill of their landlords. For example, Flight 64, a 16-year-old community printmaking collective on Alberta. They're able to exist almost exclusively because the landlord has not voluntarily raised the rent, which is often referred to as market rate. So in many cases, spaces like these are barely hanging on, or they're not. For example, New Space Center for Photography, which closed last July after 15 years due to financial strain, a place where I formerly volunteered youth workshops. Most of these small independent art spaces would not be possible to start now under current development and economic conditions in present Portland. And I'd like to encourage the city to provide support for artists and art spaces, their important ideas, culture, happenings, and the things that they produce independently from their value as financial commodities. These spaces provide our city with our way of life, and they're what make Portland a great place to live, if you can afford it. And I would like to see us have a conversation that doesn't revolve around what we're here to provide only for businesses.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Don Lukoff, the Executive Artistic Director of PDX Jazz. We just concluded our annual jazz festival. I want to thank Nick Fish, who's been a tireless supporter of our mission. This morning we convened two sessions at the Schnitz for Title I schools, and it was filled to capacity, and that's our next generation of jazz audience. And to give those people the opportunity to hear jazz in the future, we need the proper venues. We do shows creatively from the Southwest, from Lewis and Clark, all the way up to the University of Portland in the Northeast. We have an abundance of jazz artists that live here. For a city its size, it is unrivaled across this country. We are a nomadic organization. We recently left the Alberta Abbey thinking that that would be a home for us. The last show we did there was a year ago. People had to wear down coats because there was no heat in the building. It's a serious situation losing Jimmy Mack, who is a cherished person in our community, and then his building shortly thereafter to gentrification has compounded the issue. So we're out there fighting for this music. It's America's only indigenous art form, yet our festival had over 100 events, 35 headline artists from 12 different countries. Thank you.
Don, the Oregon Experience last weekend featured jazz on Williams Avenue and all the venues that we lost, and it was very sobering. But really I want to say is thank you for bringing Esperanza Spalding back to Portland.
You're very welcome. She'll be back again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last three are Kate Mura, Leroy Bynum, and Suzanne Gray.
Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Kate Mura. I am a founding member and artistic ambassador of Fuse Theater Ensemble, one of the small arts organizations in Portland that produces the Outright Theater Festival, one of the largest celebrations of GLBTQI theater on the West Coast, and I also happen to be the vice president of IATSE Local 28, the stagehands union here in Portland, but today I am simply here with my hat on as an independent artist. And I have been listening to the testimony of so many before me, so in the interest of time, I won't repeat anything. However, I do want to echo an importance of utilizing underutilized spaces that Jerry with Risk and Reward so aptly spoke of. And having been one of the administrators of Theater when it was still around, I can add to that story of how challenging it is to keep creative spaces open, as well as what it feels like to become homeless when Profile, who you heard from earlier, was also affected by the loss of Theater, which I certainly hope part four of the affordable art space, the incentivizing creative landlords, will go to help make sure that we don't lose more of the arts spaces. And so to finalize, I just want to say thank you, and thank you to everybody who is here and lending their voices so strongly in support of keeping the creative heart of Portland that has brought so many here. And unfortunately, we mourn for those who have had to move away because of rising costs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Leroy Bynum, Jr., and I am the brand new dean of the College of the Arts at Portland State University. My comments will be very brief. I moved here to Portland last summer from upstate New York. And like so many newcomers to the city, I was drawn here because of the incredibly vibrant arts community. And I take very kindly to the obligation and to the privilege of doing all that I can to ensure that Portland is a place where artists of all backgrounds can thrive. And so the recommendation in this artist report will help us to ensure that students who graduate from Portland State, for instance, with degrees in fine and performing arts, will be able to stay in Portland and put their many talents to work. The arts are not merely the spice that you sprinkle on top of a healthy community. They are one of the main ingredients. Artists are uniquely equipped to help address the critical challenges facing the city today. And I urge you to adopt these recommendations in the arts report and to partner with the College of the Arts and arts organizations in all disciplines in order to strengthen our community and ensure that Portland is the place where artists of all backgrounds can thrive.
Dean, New York's loss is our gain. So welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
I was just going to say thank you for being here at the hearing, and also thank you for coming. I moved here from upstate New York 32 years ago. I hope you're as happy with your choice as I am.
Oh, I am. Well, not so much today, but
don't have to shovel rain. Just remember that.
Dean, you may have noticed Commissioner Fritz still has a little of that New York accent. But congratulations in your new role, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Suzanne Gray, and I work as the Marketing and Communications Manager at College of the Arts at PSU. But I'm here representing myself just as an arts supporter. In 2008, I was living in New York City. And when I visited Portland for the first time, I talked to a gallery owner on Northwest 21st Street who explained to me that Portland was a place where artists could work part-time in a shop or a restaurant and have plenty of time and energy to dedicate to their art and still pay rent on a home in the inner southeast neighborhoods. And that was what made Portland such a vibrant and creative city. 10 years later, that gallery is long gone, and so many of my artist friends are hanging on by their fingernails. Portland's economic growth cannot come at the expense of our artists, performers, and makers. If it does, we will lose the very thing that made people like me fall in love with Portland in the first place. So I urge you to pursue these recommendations in the arts reports so that Portland's artists can continue to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, that concludes our presentation.
Very good. Excellent presentation. Thank you, everybody, for your testimony. We're going to call the roll first on the amendment. Are there any questions on the amendment? Please call the roll on the amendment.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Good amendment. Thanks. Aye. The amendment's adopted to the main motion.
One more. There's one more.
We appreciate the support for Parks, but yes, we've got one more to go.
It's like third run bobsled. Anything can happen. To the main motion.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for those in the council who've worked on this. I'm particularly appreciative of those who came to testify. I was kind of expecting a rah-rah, yes, this is great. And instead, what we got was a lot of provocative and insightful pressure to do better and to do more. And so I am surprised and delighted that that was the case. Thank you for making the effort to come. And I know that we will take note of what you were asking and include you as we move forward. Aye.
Fish.
You know, as I listen to all the wonderful testimony here today, I think about what would happen if we lived in a city that did not honor arts and culture. What if we couldn't go hear Esperanza Spalding when she is in the jazz festival, or go to see a Japanese film that's provocative at the film festival, or see modern dance throughout the city, or celebrate our public art collection, go to galleries and independent bookstores, catch a show at any number of theaters around the city? What if that wasn't part of what we just expected as what Portland was all about? And as I've said many times, there's nothing inevitable about Portland being an arts and culture capital. And it's up to us to seize this moment to make sure we don't lose it. So I'm immensely proud today of the council's action, and I'm thankful for my council colleagues for their support and their thoughtful engagement on this issue. We've heard loud and clear from our community that the arts are core to who we are as a city, and that it will take thoughtful, proactive action by local government, philanthropy, nonprofits, the private sector, and artists to preserve our sense of identity. I want to especially thank Jamie Dunphy. And Jamie, Mayor, doesn't take easily to praise, but he has done yeoman's work pulling this together. And I want to thank Jamie on my staff for starting this work, for working so collaboratively with my colleagues and everyone who's here, and frankly, for wearing a suit again today. I want to thank all the community members who helped craft these recommendations, to everyone who testified today, and to the advocates who recognize the urgency of this problem and who continue to challenge us to do more. The city has a long history of good intentions and detailed plans, but we often fall short on the follow-through, especially when there are changes in who is sitting in one of these chairs. So I call on this community to hold us accountable for these recommendations and commitments over the long term. And after today's vote, we will be implementing a number of these recommendations, and we will be going deeper. Today isn't a day to congratulate ourselves for a job well done. Today is when we really start to do the hard work, and I'm proud to live in a city where we recognize that this is important work. Aye.
Udaly.
So we're obviously a little pressed for time, and I'm done my best to condense my remarks and thank yous, so everyone bear with me. This is a personal issue. It's very near and dear to my heart because it reflects my lived experience as an independent bookseller, a publisher, a writer, an events organizer, an artist, and a patron and fan of the arts. I've been involved in Portland's arts and culture community for over 25 years, and started sounding the alarm about the loss of affordability a decade ago when I started seeing businesses and arts organizations and individual artists start to lose their longtime spaces to produce and exhibit their work. And I'm sorry that we're just now getting to this conversation, but I'm really thankful that it's beginning, and I'm thankful to be in a position to actually do something about it. So as we know, Portland's becoming increasingly unaffordable for probably what's now the majority of our residents, and artists certainly are not immune to that. I want to acknowledge that Portland has really built its brand on the backs of our arts and culture community without doing enough to support them, and in particular, preserve affordability. We've lost so many vital creative businesses, venues, arts organizations, studio spaces over the last decade. And while I'm pleased to be bringing back the small business liaison, aka arts concierge, to BDS, and I'm hopeful about many of the innovations offered in this report, I'm personally less interested in how we can incentivize developers and businesses to create new spaces than I am in preserving existing, naturally affordable spaces and supporting our culturally significant businesses and organizations and artists to make their own way and, in particular, to own their own spaces. My favorite proposals, really quickly, create the inventory and map of creative spaces in Portland. I don't know how we defend these spaces if we don't know the territory. So that's number one, and I think, as Jeff said, it's low-hanging fruit. And it sounds like a really fun project, so sign me up. Explore the creation of an art-specific real estate investment model. I know it doesn't sound terribly sexy, but again, I think artists and arts organizations really have to have an ownership stake in their spaces if we're truly committed to preserving long-term affordability. I think the short-term use of spaces for future development is exciting. So let's look at that, and also working with neighborhood associations and business districts to establish creative districts, obviously based on what is already naturally occurring in their neighborhoods. So I look forward to working with all of you. It's not every day that I get to see so many friends and colleagues in this room, and that my past life intersects with my current life, so it's very exciting. And I just want to say that art is vital, it's essential, and it's non-optional. I just want to put that on the record, personally. And finally, I want to thank a few people. First of all, thank you, Commissioner Fish. It's been a pleasure to work with you on this issue and have what some people may think is an unlikely ally, but is very, very much a friend and supporter. I've lost track of my thank you since I rewrote that entire intro. Here we go. I really did lose my thank yous. I'm sorry, everybody. So thanks to Jamie Dunphy, to all the staff who worked on this, all the community stakeholders, all of you who are going to help us further this mission and hold us accountable. That's a really important part. Don't let this fall through the cracks. And my final thank you, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, someone, and I apologize, is to Polly M. Burge from my office, who I've actually been working with or collaborating with for most of the last couple of decades. So thank you.
Wheeler.
So thorough was the report. So thorough was the testimony that I need not make any comments except to say I support what people have said today about the importance of arts and culture in our community. I do want to say a couple of thank yous. First of all, thank you to Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Udaly for your leadership and your partnership on this. I'm certainly happy to be a co-sponsor. I'd like to thank your respective staffs. I don't think we've quite embarrassed Jamie enough, and the reason being he's hiding behind our large novelty City Hall clock. So please give him a high five on your way out. Polly Ann Burge, thank you. Thanks to Lisa Taylor and Jennifer Arguinzoni in my office for your hard work on this, and thanks to all of our incredible presenters today, Suba, Brian, Jeff, Russ, Andre, Charlene, Damaris, and Carlos. You did a great job. We've got lots to work with here. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. We will take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. That was great. Thank you. Oh, thank you.